More than 1.5 million people in the UK aren't getting the care they need at home. Local councils have been warning for years that an ageing population and budget cuts mean they can no longer keep up with demand. They say the pandemic has made things even worse. The number of people now needing help with basic tasks like getting up, getting dressed and going to the loo is much higher than it was. We'll be discussing that in a minute, but first, let's hear from Phil Mackey. He's from Devizes in Wiltshire. He spoke to us a couple of weeks ago about his dad, who has Alzheimer's disease, type 2 diabetes and is blind. Wiltshire Council had threatened to cut back his dad's care visits at home from 3 a day to 2. Phil put in a Freedom of Information request to find out how many other people were facing similar cutbacks. He got back in touch with you and yours when he got the results.
The council told me that in the year up until the end of July of this year, they had 2,263 people funded for home care. During the year, 233 people had their visits reduced. So that works out as about 10.3%, something like that.
Now, you still don't know if the council's going to cut your dad's care. What's happened since you were last in touch with us?
Well, the day before we last spoke, they sent me an email just saying they were cancelling an assessment visit on the Friday. And after a bit of delay, they decided they would hold the meeting with two occupational therapists.
And what was decided at that meeting?
Well, it sounds dreadful, but they arrived at just the right time. My father had a problem getting to the toilet and had wet himself. So they could actually see what the actual situation really is like. After that meeting, they agreed they would monitor my father's progress for the next 6 weeks, including 3 visits a day, but they would ask the care company to take particular notice of certain aspects of my father's care, such as the problem with wetting himself.
Now, what had happened with your dad is that the proposal to cut the amount of care he got at home had been made when he was coming out of hospital, and his GP and the hospital doctors had all told the council that he needed more care coming out of hospital and not less.
They concluded that when he came out, he would need certainly one extra visit a day. My understanding, I suppose, as a layman, was the hospital have said this. They tell me it's going to happen. I presumed it would happen. However, the re-enablement team from Wiltshire Council seemed to disagree with this, and he didn't get the 4th visit a day. So the first evening, when I chased up the care company, they said, no, we have no 4th visit booked in.
So your dad had had 3 care visits going into the hospital. When he was leaving, the medical team thought he needed 4, and the council wanted to cut his visits down to 2.
Yes, they concluded that he could probably do with a reduced level of visits, cutting it back to 2.
You've only got this far, really, because you have fought the council, and you've only found out that 1 in 10 people have had their care reduced by the council because you've put in this Freedom of Information request. What's it like having to battle so hard?
It's not something I expected to be doing. It is hard work, and I don't think anybody should have to go through this. And I worry about the other people who are in that 10% who've had their care visits cut back when possibly the assessment hasn't been good enough in the first place.
And may not have children like you to fight for them and support them.
Exactly. So where does that support come from? It has to come from the community or the local authority.
Phil Mackey, one of our listeners. Well, Wiltshire Council didn't want to comment on Phil's dad's care, but they did say that the Freedom of Information request period included part of the lockdown when some families chose to reduce the amount of care they were receiving. Colin Angel is from the UK Care Home Care Association, and James Bullion is president of the Association of Directors of Adult Social Care. James Bullion, Wiltshire Council seems to be saying here that the lockdown is to blame for some reduced care packages, but that certainly isn't true for Phil's dad, who's been told he needs more care, not less. Why do you think the council are taking so long to make a decision in his case?
Well, thank you, and all credit to Phil for trying to sort out his dad's affairs. I think this period of the first 6 weeks once you've come out of hospital is a period when the council needs to work out with families about how much care is needed. So it's not unusual for councils to be on a direction of trying to put intensive support in and then reduce it over that 6 weeks. And for the doctors in the hospital who've only seen the person in a very dependent situation to often say, you know, the maximum care is needed. So that working out of what is needed, it does need to go on, but I can quite see that they needed to take action to get that right. I don't think there's no intention on councils to try and not give people the care they need, but there is an intention to try and re-able people, and that's what that first 6 weeks period is all about.
gosh, that sounds harsh, doesn't it? That you come out of hospital where you've been very dependent, and that the doctors and your GP think that you need more care, and you're suggesting that leaving you without care might be a way to, what did you call it, re-able you?
No, I'm certainly not saying people should be left without care. Certainly when you first come out of hospital, you need the most intensive care to make sure you can cope at home. And then over time, that slowly reduces. And that's a well-established principle called, I mean, the jargon is re-ablement. And no council should provide a lack of care for people. It's absolutely right that they provide care. But as the background to your programme, I'm sure, will understand, there is, of course, intense resource pressures on councils to only give what people need and to not, as it were, over-prescribe, which does sometimes happen when doctors see people in very dependent states in hospital beds and don't see what's possible with people. Even after just a couple of weeks at home, your care needs can change because people are back on their feet and they're getting physio and they're getting re-ablement and home care staff, you know, helping them get better. So often, within that 6 weeks, care needs will change, you know, once or twice.
Colin Angel, you speak for the people who provide home care. How do these decisions to reduce care for people affect the carers who work with you?
Thank you. The care workers who are providing care and supporting people's homes really want to do a good job for the people that they support. And it can be really disheartening to have somebody who you can be reasonably sure is not getting the full care needs that they require. And of course, if we're talking about reabling somebody, you don't generally start reabling somebody by giving them less support. You try and do, say if somebody comes out of hospital, the right amount of support and then try and reduce it.
Have you noticed this, and your members noticed it, this reduction in care packages?
Well, we've noticed two things, the general rationing of care, and during coronavirus, we're also really worried that there may be quite a few people out there who haven't had their needs assessed over the last 6 months, and we may actually be having older and disabled people deconditioning, not being as independent as they were while they haven't had any care and support when they've needed it. And that could mean that we've got an awful lot of additional support that's going to be needed that could have been avoided.
James Bullion, I know that you're personally a big advocate for trying to keep people in their own homes rather than moving them into care homes. But how realistic will that be if councils are cutting home care visits?
Well, exactly as you say, and as Colin will know, we need to put a much greater emphasis on care at home and on expanding home care services across the country. There has been a lot of focus on care homes rather than on home support. And, you know, councils need more resources, actually, to work with providers to expand that care. It is realistic for most people to live at home with good home care. And people can stay independent, even if they've got conditions like dementia, even if they've got some other long-term health needs, they can be supported at home if the right resources are on the ground and if the right staff are in post.
I mean, really, because a full care package is just 4 visits a day. If you live alone and you have dementia, 4 short visits a day, is that enough?
Well, I think if you combine home care visits with, in some cases, carer support, family support, and in some cases, adding technology into that picture, or providing some form of living care for some people. There are lots of ways of doing this that are, you know, balancing the risk, of course, but enabling people to live at home. Care homes are not the only answer. And in fact, when you talk to most people, they want to stay at home, or they would like to go into some form of housing that has support around it. So there's much, much more care at home if we can provide. But the basic economics of this is that councils need at least an extra £500-600 million a year to provide adequate care for people. But currently we have a deficit of some £6 billion that's built up. And that's what's preventing councils and working with providers like Colin to expand the amount of home care.
James Bullion, Colin Angel, thank you both.